most downloaded podcast in Canadian podcast history, according to the most recently updated independently conducted research conducted solely by Humble and Fred. This is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, as performed by the independently conducted research firm of Humble and Fred.
Humble and Fred Radio!
Canada's national morning show.
This is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You're now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Strain Print, Hamilton Film Studios, Palma Pasta, Freedom Construction, Ringside MD, and our newest sponsor, Clear Air Solutions. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-833-437-8465. That's 1-833-HF-STINK. And now from the Humble and Fred Queensway National Broadcast Center, here are Humble and Fred.
Humble and Fred. You know, there's not a lot of us, but we're a dedicated group of professionals. You know, we're not a huge group, but we try hard. You know, I like to think of us as a ragtag bunch of ne'er-do-wells. We came together and we do a show.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Not.
You got me.
That sounds like, what was that again? The thing about individuals, what was that? How'd you phrase that?
Who are you looking at?
I'm just looking and, you know.
Oh, okay, well, listen.
Looking off into space. Well, how did you phrase that?
Hang on a second. What did I say?
What did you say?
Oh. We're a bunch of recovering ninnies.
I said we're a ragtag group of dedicated professionals.
Oh, that, yeah. I think I get a card in the door every so often from a real estate company, and that's what it says. Dedicated group of individuals or something.
No, right. Professionals.
Professionals, that's it, yeah. Yeah. There's a thing that bugs me.
Hold on a second. 183. Oh, how long is this going to take?
Just a few seconds. And it's before the parade.
1-833-437-8465. That's the useless no one calls line. That's the next call we get will be the first in months call line. Also, you can go get the show, stream it if you like it. It's all over the place. And, of course, we're live on Twitch TV. Now, dig in, my friend.
No, I mean, I talk about the real estate. You know, a lot of those agents use flyers. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. I go get my mail, and if there's 10 items in the mail, 9 of them are flyers that Canada Post is delivering now, which mm-hmm. bugs me. Because sometimes, you know, real mail can get sort of lost in all that crap. That's number one.
Oh.
Number two, if you're going to hand deliver a flyer outside of Canada Post, don't stick it in my door handle. Thank you.
Okay.
Or hook it on my door handle. Doesn't that bug you?
I don't know, because I don't...
Oh, you don't get that?
Well, I don't get too much of it here.
Sometimes they'll roll it up.
No.
And stick it in the door handle. Right. So then you... You know, and then it falls onto the ground.
What if there's an emergency?
So
you need
now
to get inside your house.
You know those things do not disturb at hotels, the way
yes.
they hook on a knob?
Yes.
Now they're producing them like that so they can
door
hook
carts.
Them up. Yeah. No. Don't leave. Ooh. It's just litter.
Ooh.
I didn't ask for it. Thank you. I should get one that says do not disturb and put it on my front door.
Yeah.
Ever. Do not disturb ever.
You should.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you won't.
Yes.
Here's one. I bet you won't. But you should.
I bet you won't. Bet you won't.
Sounds like a great idea.
Next time I'm at Motel 6, I'll steal one.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on.
What?
You in a Motel 6 at that price point?
Mm. Okay. Motel 1.
Motel 1. Motel, not 6.
The car would be staged.
Six is too much.
Yes.
I'm not paying 6 for a motel. Anyway, this is the show. We're doing it. At some point, we'll start to break down.
We'll
just break down. How's your hip?
Fine. Absolutely fine today.
That's good. I don't know what that around was. Here yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. Wow. Went home yesterday, took a couple of leaves and took it easy. And today there's nothing.
That's good.
Yeah.
I don't want I don't want this pain for you. The pain that I'm in.
No, I must have just pulled a muscle or something. I don't know. But to get over it in a day, what's that all about?
Well, anyway, you have
I'm not complaining.
You have amazing powers of recovery. Mm-hmm. Listen, everyone, you can get a hold of us, of course. This show is also on Spotify, iHeartRadio. Is it? Is it? I don't know.
I think.
The podcast isn't yet.
Well, that's going to take some time.
That's still a bit of a struggle.
Is it?
When I see some of the podcasts on iHeartRadio, and then we've been almost a year now trying to get on there.
And what's the delay,
not that I'm complaining. I don't know.
Is there a delay?
Quality, probably.
They're going to... it's a one-year trial. And iHeart will decide in September if we're worthy of carrying on.
Go there. On there. There's some cheesy, cheesy America morning shows on there. Mm-hmm. We can't
Well, if there's cheesy morning shows, we should be there.
No, I mean real cheesy.
Real cheese.
Where music's always playing in the background and everybody's yelling about entertainment stories. Yeah. Yeah, those morning shows.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Shoot, boom, shoot, boom, shoot, boom, shoot, boom, boom, shoot, boom. And then they...
How about that Taylor Swift?
And yeah, right.
What do they do? They have music underneath all the time?
Yeah.
And boom, boom, and then they talk about things?
And then they talk about entertainment.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
There's a ton of them on iHeart. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, people want to listen to that.
Can't get this.
Can't get this only in exclusive places.
Dang, yeah. Mail at the door.
All right, everyone. Oh, here we go. So, yeah, it's like, I hate when those real estate agents put a flyer in my door, hang it inside. What if there's an emergency? Canada's number one morning show.
Woo! It's true, brother.
Yeah, brother.
So true, so true.
At some point, of course, we're going to be talking about the parade and the numbers of people. I want to mention our friends from Strain Print, another couple of very interesting people, the marketing manager and researcher from Strain Print Technologies will be here, Michelle Arbus and Kashtan Adams-Foley. Also, Barker's supposed to drop in. And a couple days ago, I saved something. I think it was the review of one of Barker's shows. Hmm. Anyway, Barker's doing great. Barker's doing great. Just that's all you got to know. But let's talk a little bit about the numbers at the parade, and then we can talk about some of the parade incidences. Your estimation, where's the number? Where did you hear that number from?
I had heard upwards of 2 million. I don't know. That's what was being thrown out there. I don't know.
Was that? I didn't watch the news last night. Was that what the number was being thrown out on the actual news?
Yeah, or just... upwards of 2 million people were on the streets of Toronto.
Okay,
is what I. Which again seemed pretty ambitious, I would think, but then you came out with a number which seemed low to me.
Globe and Mail this morning.
Yeah.
Headline: Toronto Raptors celebration parade marred by violence. Transit shutdowns. Comma after violence. Mm. And first of all, it's a great shot. High on the north side, looking down south at Nathan Phillips Square, mm-hmm. of the amount of people in there. It was amazing. They had a guy from Arizona State, a professor who was an expert in estimating crowd size. I didn't even know that was a thing. He said...
Well, there's an expert in everything, however. Mm-hmm.
Stephen Doig, a professor at Arizona State University, an expert mm-hmm. on crowd size estimation, Phil, mm-hmm. looked at aerial photos of the crowd and estimated it was likely 600,000 at most.
Yeah?
Well, so it doesn't really matter. Some say 600,000-ish. Others say 2 million.
The only thing is, when you look at that route... And then whenever there was an open space, it was jammed all the way from Exhibition Stadium up. So I think 600,000 would be like 12 Sky Domes, right?
Yeah.
Seemed like there was more people than that to me, but who knows? Yeah.
I can only tell mm-hmm. you what's being reported in Canada's paper of record.
But 2 million, yeah, I doubt that. So maybe, yeah, between 600 and a million, maybe that, you know, probably right.
So my question for you is, we'll talk about some of the violence. And, to me, it seemed, listen, any violence is no good. Pardon me. But there was one shooting, and there was a stabbing.
Well, I don't know if you can put it that way. There was a few stabbings and more than one shooting.
So talk to me about that. How many stabbings, how many shootings?
Apparently there was like three stabbings near the Eaton Center.
Yep.
And then the shooting, like four people were injured, two people or three people arrested.
You are correct.
So, yeah, when you say shooting, you mean plural.
Right.
Police and paramedics had to contend with several incidences, it says. A shooting where four people were injured, three people were arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And a fight also broke out, as you say, near the Eaton Center, where police said three people were reported stabbed. My question to you is, again, none would be better, but it seemed fairly low, considering if there were between 600 and a couple million people milling about the streets.
I know. I know. You know, by the book, I know what you're saying, but it's still, I was so disheartened after that. Because it was so joyous, and this is Toronto, and, you know, the reputation we have. Here's the problem with that. And I know, by the book, I guess, as big North American cities go, although I don't know, the Yankees had 2 million at their last one, nobody gets shot. You know what I mean? So, it's tough to... I mean, it's tough to reach any conclusions that way other than you're just totally disheartened. Because the thing is, you know, there was a fleeting moment there on Sunday where my son-in-law, Josh, said, I was thinking of taking John down. And then, of course, Johnny Slapshot. And then I can see the fear in Delisa's eyes and all that. Anyway, they didn't. But you were saying yesterday, what if the Maple Leafs won the Stanley Cup? You said I would probably go.
Yeah, of course.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
Would I want to take John? Yes. Now would I? No. Thank you very much, Neanderthal P-head thug who did that yesterday. I probably wouldn't because of that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. Whatever took place yesterday, though, I think was, I always get this wrong, irrespective or regardless of a parade going on.
No, I know what you're saying.
Do you know what I mean? Like it wasn't like it was a parade's going on, let's shoot and stab people. It was, they were all... Beside the point, it wasn't like, do you know what I mean? It wasn't the parade caused those incidents.
No,
the idiots caused those
incidents. Well, no, the parade didn't, but what you have to think about is the person who did that chose to do it at a parade.
Mm-hmm.
And how selfish is that? Total disregard for the safety of those around. If he was targeting somebody... And a woman got shot. Was it some kind of a spur of the moment, mm-hmm. on the street, domestic? He still had a gun.
Yeah.
And chose, no part of him thought, well, I'm having this little problem with this person right now, but look at all the people around me. This isn't the time
to blow
somebody's head off or whatever.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about, you know, these little creep thug pigs who carry their guns. If you're willing to carry a gun, you're willing to use it.
And when why else would you carry it?
And when it's on your person, you're a bit twitchy, right? I've got the gun now. Now, every little incident becomes a little bit different because I have my gun. I want to use my gun. You know?
Yeah, I don't...
Give me an excuse to use my gun.
Yeah. Well, you know more about thug life than I do.
I guess.
Yeah. I don't know all
this. So then somebody gets a little disrespect yesterday and bang.
Yeah.
See, again, I just heard about it this morning and... No, again.
You just heard about what this morning?
The shooting.
Yes.
I wasn't
Where
paying.
Were you?
I was golfing yesterday afternoon.
What about last night?
I was with my family and friends. And so
really?
I was getting all wound up about street violence. How would I be better served knowing
it
last night?
I'm surprised you didn't hear it. That's all. Also, I'm just surprised.
I don't listen to regular radio, and I went to sleep last night and woke up this morning and started reading about thugs.
Because that's funny. When you phoned me last night.
I called you? Oh, about the money.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's funny because I thought, oh, geez, we didn't even mention the shooting.
No.
I just assumed you knew.
Hadn't heard.
Like driving home or something, you would have heard about it because it obviously was the big
thing. Listening to Yacht Rock.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was a shooting. It was
And that's the yacht rock guy voice.
Well, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. It was a shooting.
I mean, but really, I mean, I didn't know. I didn't. I came home. We had dinner. Went to bed. Got up early.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
Lucky you.
I am lucky. But,
right, but you should go through life. Wouldn't it be nice to go through life not hearing ever about anything bad?
It's great.
Yeah.
It's really, really great, man. You should try it. Imagine.
I know what you're like. The weather forecast bugs you more than the shooting.
Yeah. Oh, and it doesn't bug you at all. This morning, just before the show started, I said, well, you know, we almost had a great day yesterday.
Almost.
And he goes, oh, except for the overcast. No, listen, sorry, there was a few clouds in the sky. But it was a pretty nice afternoon. As the days of this year go, yesterday was by far the best in this city, except for the shooting and stabbing.
Here's this spring. So Delisa and I are watching the news, and then all of a sudden I said, oh, look, the sun's out. So I walked out back, and she said, oh, is the sun out? I said, yeah. And she said, oh, let's set out back.
This is last night?
Yeah, so yeah. Last night.
Yeah.
So she goes, and she just goes to top off her tea,
mm-hmm.
and then by the time she comes out, the sun was
the sun's gone. I know.
And it was gone. So we both went inside.
Now that I've got like a beautiful space outside, I sit on my deck. Did you know I sit on my deck now?
Yeah.
I went out last night with my brother and his new girlfriend. They had some tea, and I said, oh, this will be nice. We'll sit out on the deck. At about 8 o'clock, it got cold,
mm-hmm.
and I had to get a jacket.
I know.
Anyway, but for the most part, yesterday was great outside mm-hmm. of the shooting and stabbing. I only bring it up because it was a big story, obviously, but in my thoughts were, whatever hundreds of thousands of people it was, it seemed like in other cities where there have been violent outbreaks during these joyous times, for reasons I don't understand, it could have been a lot worse. It could have been way more. When you get that many people, I saw the pictures of the people on King Street. Now, I wouldn't be able to handle it. Too many people.
Look at it this way. And I had this conversation
with my wife.
With my wife. I said,
my wife's in my
I said
tea.
To my wife.
I said to my cup of tea and my wife.
I said, my strategy. I'm down there with Johnny Slapshot. What I would do, I think what I would do is put him on the ground and just hover over him in a ball. And I don't
Once
know.
Once the shooting started?
Yeah, well, no, the stampede, because that's what you got to worry about.
Yes.
Chances of being trampled are way higher than being shot, right? Once that...
Oh, yeah, fervor. Absolutely.
Once that starts.
Yeah.
If I pick up a six-year-old and start running, the people around me are going to be running a lot faster than me, so
yes.
I'm going to get knocked over. Wouldn't the best thing be just throw them down on the ground and just hover over them, and then let people run up your back as long as your kid's protected? Now, listen, we haven't even heard the terror that some people went through yesterday. I mean, forget being shot. Just going through that, having your kid there, shots rung out, and people are yelling gun, and then some other idiot runs, was screaming van.
Where were this, all by the Eaton Center?
Right at Bay and Queen.
Yeah.
At the corner, the back corner.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So... To go through that terror, you have your kid there. But there's another thing. You know, I'm looking at the crowd, and it's sardines. And who takes a 2 or 3 year old kid?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The sheer crowd size. Like there was this time lapse thing I was looking at just before we started as well, just watching the crowd fill in, and then the parade route. We'll talk about how delayed it all was. But that would be too much for me. Just the fact that you would be in that crowd and not be able to get out easily. I don't know that I could do it.
Well, you look at Nathan Phillips Square there. People started camping out like a day before or something.
Right.
You're in the middle of that. You have to have a pee.
Yeah. What do you do?
Like, seriously. So they say drink lots of water. Okay. So I'm standing in the sea of humanity mm-hmm. drinking lots of water, but now I have to pee a lot. Now what?
Do what I do during the show.
Pee up someone's back.
Right in my pants. Pee up someone's back.
Oh, what?
That's the solution. Pee your pants, Mr. Patterson, like a grown man.
No, but just the logistics of it.
Yes.
It's so easy to say, oh, the people didn't bring enough water.
Nope.
Okay, I'm not sure I want to be drinking in that
situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so all of this taken in. It was a great occasion, but I don't... Just the sheer... Like, Justin, where were you? Let's get Justin over here.
Justin,
where did you pee?
I was on King and University.
Okay, here's Justin.
You could pee at a coffee shop.
This is Justin. He's our producer, Twitch producer's intern.
Yes.
And he's just done, he's shaved his face.
Yes, for the win, yeah.
And what happened there yesterday?
So I was on King and University, nice. Right at that intersection. So I was in the massive people there. I found a Starbucks that was a couple streets over that had nobody in it. It was completely empty. Bathroom was all mine. It was a little bit of a hike, but the one right on King and University, right at the intersection there at the food court,
yeah.
was just a madhouse. You couldn't even get to it.
You know, and I saw some people on social media saying, "Oh, the parade, bad planning." How do you plan for that? You have no idea how many people
put up two barriers instead of one.
What do you mean two barriers?
They only had one barrier, so people could walk right up to the fence.
But the problem with barriers is when you get a big crowd, people get crushed against the barriers.
Yes.
Yeah, but the one barrier didn't allow for any space for the bus to go through. Had they put two barriers, there would have been an empty space.
So the bus to go because they were supposed to meet at Nathan Phillips Square at 12:30. They didn't start. So think about this. They went from Princess Gates to Nathan Phillips Square. It's about 4 miles, and it took them 5 hours.
Yeah.
Now, forget crowd estimation. Was there no plan for that? Like,
no, but here's the thing about the barriers, and I heard this explained. You can't have the barriers because with that many people, people get crushed against them.
Yes.
So what they did is they had the police going ahead, and as it inched forward, the police were just asking people to move aside. Mm-hmm. That's really the only way you can do it. And then some people cooperate and others don't. And that's why it kept getting stopped and stopped. So Leafs win the Stanley Cup next spring. What do they do? Like, what do you do differently? Tell people not to come? Don't have a parade? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Did you ever feel unsafe?
No.
What, did you feel claustrophobic, though?
Very much so.
Yeah,
especially going through the trains, like all right. the subway stations.
Were you squeezed against anyone? And did, and this is important now, mm-hmm. did anyone touch you inappropriately?
On the train, I got a little uncomfortable there. I had a few people... Yeah, feeling around, but
no. Feeling around?
Yeah, no. But I tried to, you know, keep my hands up on the roof.
Keep your hands in the air.
Like it just
keep
don't
myself,
care.
Yeah, just let it all happen, right?
All right. Well, just sometimes you have to let it happen.
No, I told you years ago, Delise and I got caught in a stampede, so to speak, at Ontario Place. And it was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. It was on one of the bridges that went over the water.
Mm-hmm.
And people were pushing from both ends into the middle, and we were in the middle. And at one point, I was thinking, I got near the railing. I was literally going to grab her and throw her over into the water. It was that tense. Because you can't breathe. You start, the top of your body moves, but your feet don't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it's just like, it's terror.
Would you have asked her or just tossed her? Say, hey, doll, it's time to swim.
I would have said, you know what? Hold your nose because you're going down. And I'll be right after you.
So. Hold your nose because you're going down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good for you.
That's good, yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's what everyone wanted to hear you say.
Yeah.
Hold your nose, doll, because you're going down. You know, anniversaries and birthdays.
No, have you ever been caught in a big crowd?
I'm from Moose Jaw. We didn't have crowds.
Horrible.
No, I
a cup of tea.
Didn't have any crowds. No, I haven't.
It really
you know,
is.
But I can tell you from looking at those pictures, I wouldn't want to be there. No. I wouldn't want to do that. Listen, I've been caught in a crowd at a train station like you described, mm-hmm. where there's too many people and you're getting crushed. But it was, you know, once it dissipates once the...
Right.
But
you go up the stairs out of the train station and it doesn't dissipate.
Yeah,
like,
I couldn't
do it. The streets are the same. It was insane.
Well, listen, we're going to continue this post-parade coverage. This is where people come to hard-hitting news. And
I love a parade.
We're not even really getting started. We got to take a break here. We didn't even get a chance to talk about our friends.
Our friends.
All kinds of stuff still to come on the show. Parade hooligans. There's two hugely celebrated criminals that are tweeting. OJ and Bill Cosby.
Christ.
Like, are you kidding me?
I thought you were going to say two criminals are tweeting and one of them isn't Trump.
Okay. Two criminals are tweeting and one of them isn't Trump. We'll have that story. When we come back here in a second, live on Funny 820. Man, we're grateful to Bell for letting us back on the air. And, of course, we'll love to have you at humbleandfredradio.com for all the nonsense and some swear words.
My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and that's I know for sure. And by dad. yes, you really wanna, but can't stand to see me walk out the door. I can't stand to fight the feeling, cause the thought alone is killing me right now.
Talking about basketball in the city of Toronto during the break there. If you were listening to us on Twitch, we were yelling about how great Drake is and that Nav guy, the super fan.
It's Nav Bazir.
What's it?
Nav Bazir.
And that idea, well, Sean said, well, they're, it's good to know there's some real fans as opposed to bandwagon jumpers. And I'm like, well, bandwagon jumpers are real fans. They're just fans when the team doesn't eat. You know, it's like when the team sucks, I'm sorry, am I going to watch them? Who cares?
It's like the Blue Jays. They don't exist to me right now.
And your analogy about the restaurants in Appleton, it's like, well, I heard that restaurant was no good. Oh, they got a new menu. Let's try it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good now.
Yeah.
Super.
I want it. Listen, sports teams owe us nothing. We owe them nothing.
Right.
It's all about the product. And really, the Blue Jays don't exist to me. Like, a year ago, even, you know, and some of the notable players were still there, you know, you tune in and you watch. You want to be entertained. Well, that's not happening now.
Nope.
And when they get good, 50,000 will be back in the dome.
Exactly.
That's the way it works.
I just feel weird, you know, because the Raptors, they had this great season, the playoff run, they win the championship, the Larry O'Day, what is that thing? Larrabee?
The Larry David Trophy?
Larry O'Brien.
The Larry David Trophy. The coveted Larry David Trophy. And I don't hear anyone talking about Vince Carter. How come he didn't get any time?
Well, one thing I will say.
Did he not get a chance to play?
Yeah. I don't know how to... How did Ben Hogan do in the U.S. Open
this week? Ben Hogan, first of all,
what?
By the way, is different than Vince Carter. Because Ben Hogan's dead.
Yeah.
Yes?
One thing I will say,
yes.
Pretty cool, you know, these... One thing about these Raptors, the character of the team is pretty cool. They're pretty likable.
Oh, yeah.
Like Kyle Lowry yesterday... He's wearing a Damon Stoudemire jersey yesterday, which is really cool. Because what that was recognizing the roots. Damon Stoudemire was the very first big draft choice guy, remember? But that was sort of, that was him acknowledging the history of the team. I thought that was pretty cool. And then this Kawhi Leonard guy. You know, all season long, he's been ribbed about that laugh. Well, yesterday during his speech, he ended it with the laugh. Like you put it on.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was really, really cool.
You know what that is? That's a nice self-awareness. It's a nice awareness that there's a world. Yeah, let's do Palma Pasta. In a second, I'm going to replay a great exchange between Kyle Lowry and this reporter, this video that's gone viral. I think it's a few weeks old, but I think it's worth replaying.
The kid?
The kid. Well, the
one that I mixed up last week.
The one?
Yep. The one I mixed up last week, I thought it was Kawhi Leonard, and it was...
it was Kyle Lowry, but I don't think we played the clip of it.
No,
I found the audio of it, and we'll do it in a second. But first, let's talk about how to feed your family when you're just fresh from a parade.
Hey, you might want to check out Palma's Kitchen. It's at 3485 Seminick Court in Mississauga. Fantastic. 10,000 square feet of delicious items. Hot foods, cold foods, frozen foods. It's fantastic. You can eat while you're there. Take dinner home. Fantastic. One of four locations of Palma Pasta. It's fantastic. PalmaPasta.com. Go there. See all the lovely items they have. And then, hey, you might want to order through Skip the Dishes. Or head on over there and stock up for the week. PalmaPasta.com, Palma Pasta, four locations. Check out the new one on Seminick Court in Mississauga.
Here's a Gig Sky update. New one-day 800 megabit data plans, Phyllis.
That is
it's a lot of data.
Yeah.
Who's your data?
Kickstarts my data.
Data. those data plans now for just $10. New iPhones, XS. XS?
10S?
XS? 10S? Max? 10R? Can take advantage of the eSIM tech. Just download the app to the phone, create an account, and then purchase the data plan you need for your destination. The eSIM will download it to the phone, and you're good to go with your travel data. For new customers, you can use the HF500 promo code in the promo code field when creating your account for a $5 GigSky credit to be used for your first purchase. Summer travel data plans will be announced soon. Keep an eye out for GigSky social media for the announcement. GigSky. Go to humbleandfredradio.com and check it out, or go to gigsky.com. Kawhi Leonard Kyle Lowry, this CBC Kids kid asked the question, and this video has gone viral. This is from a week ago. Hang on a second. And you had talked about this, right?
Yeah, I thought it was Kawhi.
How does it feel to be an icon all over Canada, kids?
I'm not a... that's a crazy question. I ain't never been asked that one. I don't know. I put it this way, man. I was once a kid. I was once in your shoes.
By the way, I love that. That he says, you know, I was just once a kid. And she's... The little girl is, I think, 13.
And to be able to know kids one day will want to be like me, I hold myself to a super high standard. And I want you to see, I want kids and I want you to see a man that's, you know, really professional, really about his business. But at the same time, he's still fun and loving at everything else.
Davide, last
crazy question right there, boy.
This is great because he turns away from the little kid reporter from CBC Kids, and he's turning back to the regular reporter. Isn't this what he says?
You can't beat that question. You can't beat that question. You can try, but you.
Isn't that great? Again, self-awareness, not some standard robotic athlete response.
Yeah. No, they're like, yeah, of course, whenever a team wins a championship, they're likable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, one of the comments I made after the Leafs were eliminated was, this team isn't very likable because they had lost. I mean, mm-hmm. So much of that is hooked on emotion.
Mm-hmm.
But during the regular season, there was no drama with the Raptors, you know, there was no... A lot of these NBA, NFL players pouting and
the divas within the group
saying so, you know, outrageous things.
I'm the superstar; no one else is.
Yeah, so that just added to the pleasure of it all.
Mm-hmm. On another note, I'm trying to find if I can't find this, Justin. Maybe you can. I had it this morning. It's O.J. Simpson and Bill Cosby on the other side of the ledger. OJ has joined Twitter, and I had, for some reason, I was able to isolate that audio, and now I can't.
Which one? Oh.
Well, his actual tweet.
Yeah.
Here it is.
He was talking about wanting to even the score.
Well,
right?
No, what he said is, you've got to hear this. Like, you want to talk about the opposite of self-awareness. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. Here we go. Come on, OJ. Okay, here we go.
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly. Now, coming soon to Twitter, you'll get to read all my thoughts and opinions on just about everything. Now, there's a lot of fake OJ accounts out there, so this one, @TheRealOJ32, is the only official one. So, this should be a lot of fun.
I got a little getting even to do. That, if we had a thing called the quote of the day, that would be the quote of the day.
Getting even.
OJ says, I got a little getting even to do.
So God bless. Take care.
God bless.
God bless.
Mm-hmm. This is a man that almost severed the heads of two people.
Yeah. OJ here.
Opinions on just about everything.
You're going to hear my opinions on just about everything. How about your opinion on lopping people's heads off? Dear OJ.
You know, I was reading yesterday, his NFL pension's about $300,000 a year.
Wow.
And in Florida and Nevada, and I think he's living in Nevada now, Vegas, around Vegas, the Browns can't touch that. So his only source of income now, which is, you know, puts him in the top 1%, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Browns can't touch. So he's apparently living a pretty good lifestyle.
Yeah.
I didn't see the video. Is that video?
Yeah, man.
Oh, his environment looks pretty good, apparently.
Yeah, it looks to me, well, it's a golf course. It's on the veranda, but he plays at the Bel Air Country Club.
Right.
Maybe that's not it, but that was the first thing I thought was, oh, I wonder if that's Bel Air.
Yeah, so, I don't know. You know, if you're Ron Goldman's dad, say, you know, you find out you've only got a couple of months to live.
Mm. Absolutely.
Do you hunt him down?
Hunt him down. And bang. And put a flyer in his door.
Yeah.
Put a damn flyer in his door.
Kamikaze.
Every day. Mm. Here's the thing. You want... by the way, it was 25. This will put a little perspective on you. The not guilty trial took place this month, 25 years ago, Phil.
Oh, yes. 1994. Mm-hmm.
And I remember it very well because my ex-wife, Randy, was pregnant with baby Charlie. Mm-hmm. Charlie had not yet... been expunged from the birth canal.
Yes.
And my father, Lou Glassman, was still alive. And, well, I believe he was alive because we went on a golf trip together. Mm-hmm. And we were in Scotland, not far from St. Andrews. And we were staying in a, not an Airbnb, obviously, but like a...
bed and breakfast.
A common house. A house that had a common room mm-hmm. where we all would gather for breakfast. And one morning we gathered and watched the O.J.,
verdict?
No.
The chase.
Oh, the chase. So that was June of 1994, and my dad and I came down for breakfast, and we were watching this thing, or whatever time of the day it was in L.A., we were watching it with a bunch of people, and we were like, oh, that's O.J. Simpson. I wonder what this is all about.
In his white SUV.
In his white SUV. O.J. Simpson.
So much of that. That was a frustrating time. Especially when the verdict came down. You know, the whole gloves, if they don't fit, you must acquit. You know, if you're planning a murder, it's like, you know what? I'm going to get gloves that don't fit me. They're extra small so that if there's ever, like, a trail, they, you know, it won't be like they fit me. Like, that hinging on that just bothered me.
Yeah, but you know that it wasn't that he planned that.
It's no,
that
I know
he lucked out. They lucked out that the gloves dried smaller. Yeah.
But I'm saying, why wasn't that argument? Well, okay, yeah, the gloves were small. He put small gloves on.
Yeah.
Or even you know what it's like when you're prosecuting. You could even accuse him. Oh yeah, Mister. You know, he thought ahead. Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
For this moment, he put on smaller gloves, so it would. Like to me, that was just.
My question is this.
So pivotal.
Wouldn't you, and it's not to you, it's just rhetorical. If you'd done, if you knew, and he knows, if you'd gone through all of this.
Yes.
Wouldn't you just shut up
right.
forever? Like, just lay low, don't join Twitter, you know, don't even use a cell phone, landline only. Just lay low. Because you got away with it. He did. And I will go.
Of course he did.
He knows this. We all know it. But the fact that the word hubris is, it means exceptional.
Allegory in a way, like really just, loud.
No, it means the inability to see how exceptionally asinine you're being in a way. Like it takes a lot of balls. Mm-hmm. Like it means sort of exceptional.
Self-pride.
Something.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a trait of narcissism.
Well, exactly.
It's like. Again, it's like Trump, we've said. He's accomplished some things. How much farther ahead he would be if he just shut his mouth and got off Twitter?
Yeah. Excessive
same
pride
thing, yeah.
Or self-confidence.
Mm.
You know, you've got to have sociopathic self-confidence to go on Twitter and go, hi, everybody, it's OJ. A lot of people have fake OJ accounts, but you're going to hear all my thoughts and opinions about lopping my wife's head off. Like, seriously, I got a lot. When you say, I got a lot of getting even to do, and you're O.J. Simpson, that's hubris. That's a psychotic amount of self-confidence. Because most of us, I will speak for me, I'm so self-conscious that had I killed my wife and another guy and I got away with it, you'd never hear my name again. I would just go hide someplace. Like, think about it.
Oh, I know.
So another example of hubris, and whether it was him or not, Bill Cosby.
Mm-hmm.
This is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
What was the tweet?
Unbelievable. Let me grab it here. He said, hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
This is Bill Cosby on Father's Day.
Jesus.
Hey, 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 it's America's dad. I know it's late, but to all of the dads, it's an honor to be called a father, so let's make today a renewed oath to fulfilling our purpose, strengthening our families and communities. This is from Bill Cosby, who drugs and rapes women.
Yeah.
A serial drug rapist.
A serial drug rapist.
So what's going on in his head? So apparently, and I heard this yesterday, that Camilla or the family controls his Twitter feed. I don't know. Speculative. They're just as bad.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you...
The only difference is Cosby is still clinging to... Oh, he is right. Just as bad. But clinging to the idea that he's...
His family. Innocent?
Innocent.
Yeah, I know. It's just...
And by the way, I was wrong. That reporter was a young... Was a young man? The reporter in that?
Cause Rich, I think, yeah.
Yeah, Rich Gelder's saying the young man's a student at Norwood Park School in Hamilton. Here's somebody else on Twitch saying there's a popular fan theory that says OJ's son committed the murder and OJ tried to take the fall to protect him.
What do you mean tried to take the fall?
Which son? I mean the son of the mother?
Well, what do you mean tried to take the fall?
His son tried to kill his mother?
Take the fall would be, hey, I did it, not my son.
And yeah, that would be taking the fall.
Jeez.
Okay.
His son. He was in a... The guy, again, he's a narcissist. You know, in all the things that led up and things that he had done to her and just his personality traits, he flipped out one night and lost it. And he killed her and had to kill him so that Ron didn't rat him out. You know, basically. Like, you don't have to be a... You don't have to be Einstein to figure that one out.
Ian just said on Twitch, "Dear OJ, first time murderer, long time fan." Hey, it's OJ. Remember me, the guy that a lot of people think killed, even if he didn't, because he's so narcissistic and
yeah.
A lot of people think I killed my wife.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to lay low.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hang out, play some golf in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
You said he got a couple hundred thousand a year in a pension. I'm cool with that. No one has to ever hear from him again. And as far as Cosby goes, like, he's insane. Well, you start a tweet. Well, you've been put in prison for raping and drugging women, and you start with, hey, hey, hey.
It's America's dad.
It's America's dad.
Everybody be moral.
What is wrong with these people? It's like there's a comic, Sebastian Maniscalco has this special called "Aren't You Embarrassed?" Aren't you ever embarrassed?
And I hate to keep bringing him up, but this is why it's so frightening.
Mm.
The leader of the free world. You know, you see all that in him as well.
Yeah.
And now all these polls are coming out. He trails every one of the notable Democrats in every poll across the country if an election was held today.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coming out saying they're all lies and mistruths. And then he loves Fox. Even the Fox polls, they've even put them on television. He trails all the Democrats, but all the polls are a lie.
Yeah.
And it's the evil media. And then people are saying, what, even Fox? You mean the state network that... Licks your underside?
Licks your presidential chota?
So you just, you just contradict yourself a bit, Mr. Prez. Like,
Trump's like, hey, 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 it's America's
winning
douche. I'm America's douche. Mm-hmm. I watched, so I got up really early this morning. I did, because I was worried about the parade. sometimes I wake up about, I don't know, between 4:45 and 5, and I don't feel like getting out of bed, and I'll just start looking at, you know, news and stuff, just get a sense of what's going on. And I watched about 15 minutes, and it was fascinating, of Elizabeth Warren, and you go look this up, from 2016, at a senatorial hearing of the Wells Fargo. There was a giant scam where the CEO, the chairman of Wells Fargo, was brought before this Senate Judiciary Committee on this huge scandal.
Right.
And I'll tell you, that 15 minutes would make me vote for her for president. She's really a smart woman. And she's likable in a way that Hillary Clinton never was to me. I always found her a little bit slick. But this Elizabeth Warren woman has got some, she's got some depth. But just seeing her hold this guy's feet to the fire. Anyway, the article that sent me to this video basically said she may not get the nomination because she's a woman and she's not popular enough within the party. But what the article said was if she went up against Trump in a debate, she'd wipe the floor with her.
Howard, yeah. any of them.
No, but her in particular. And that video, by the way, is very interesting. Just check it out.
I can't wait for those debates. As a matter of fact, I have a feeling. I wouldn't be at all surprised during that election they keep him off the debate floor, which they can do.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I would.
I would, too.
Because, you know, the first time it was a novelty, but now there's a record of stuff for them to bring up. Are you kidding me?
And the thing is, they apparently somebody was, like up until recently, he couldn't name the three levels of government in the United States.
What?
No. Yeah. And the thing, but you know what? Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. I mean, there's apples and oranges. Mm-hmm. You could still be a great president and be oblivious to a lot of things because there's this and there's that. He's just blown it along the way by acting like nobody knows more than I do. Nobody's smarter than me. Nobody knows government more than I did. It's like, but he doesn't.
I can't wait until the debates, if he does get out there. For somebody in his own party, or then again, once he gets the nomination with the Democrats. Mm-hmm. Somebody to just start one by one going, Mr. President, what did you mean when you said you preferred John, you didn't think John McCain was a war hero, you prefer your heroes not to be captured? What did you mean by that? Mr. President, you know, you acknowledge that the Russians didn't, but you'd say you would do it again. You would have a foreign power. If somebody said a foreign power was tampering with the election, you wouldn't tell the FBI. What did you mean by that? There's a thousand of those. But this Elizabeth Warren woman, very, very bright. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been aware of her. I've heard her name.
Yeah.
But I watched this thing this morning, and it was fascinating. And that guy that she was talking to from Wells Fargo, this high-powered guy, she said, Sir, during this scam, you made $200 million on your stock prices going up. And you could just see this guy squirming away. It was beautiful.
Is that Pocahontas?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So that could hurt her. You know what I mean? Because they dig up dirt on anybody. That whole...
Sure, well, they all have dirt.
Oh, no, but I'm just saying that could hurt her along the way, claiming that she had more of an attachment to being indigenous or whatever.
Well, of all the things you can dig up on a candidate...
Oh, I know.
On Twitch, somebody has thought that Cause and Juice in the Morning might be a good morning show. Hey, it's Cause and Juice in the Morning. Us. America's new morning show.
WBOJ.
And I would think that Kamala Harris, I would like... Being a woman and black, I think she'd be a little more voter friendly. Just voter because people.
She's a good orator. She knows how to make a speech.
Well, and brings people out.
Yeah,
and you know who that would bring out to the polls?
Mm-hmm.
Who didn't come out?
That's right.
In the last election,
the demographic that helped Trump get elected. I can only hope. My imagination would have me believe that they now understand. As we all do, what not participating leads to.
Absolutely. And, you know, all these great economic numbers they're talking about, they still, most surveys of the average American, they haven't felt a thing.
Nope.
They're still in the same place. It's all a bunch of bluster and smoke screening and lies. So, I mean, that's encouraging, too, to get rid of this.
Well, and you know who did benefit from that great Republican tax break of a couple years ago whenever he brought it in?
Yep.
And I remember us saying this. It wasn't going to be the middle class or lower middle class. It was going to be just the 1% who don't pay any taxes, basically. You know, and listen, we're going to be long gone in 25 or 30 years, hopefully, before. And none of it will change. Those people will pay. That guy that's the CEO of Wells Fargo, he didn't pay any tax. He didn't pay the percentage of taxes they should.
All those guys got away with, you talk about get away with murder. In some cases, just as bad as murder. Robbing hardworking men and women that work 35 years to build up a pension fund and just poof, gone.
And
yeah, some of them would. I bet there was a lot of suicides, actually. Well, so it was murder.
Thousands of people that worked, the people that did get fired at Wells Fargo,
yes,
were like the regional tellers.
Managers,
and she said that. She goes, mm-hmm, you know who got fired? People making $12 an hour. She said, tell me one executive. And he went to say something. She said, no, not a regional director. Someone at your level. Who got fired? Nobody.
Yeah.
Hey, Twitter world, this is
yours
truly.
Hey, Twitter world.
Now, coming soon to Twitter.
I love it. Hey, Twitter world, it's yours truly. The murderer. We got to take a break. We'll come back here. We're going to be talking some more. What?
No, I was thinking, you know, OJ used to be pretty big. Remember, he was on NFL football
and
NBC.
Yeah.
Maybe for some attention, the CFL should hire him.
Probably.
You know, TSN, be a sideline reporter. Hey, everybody.
Hey, everyone. It's yours truly on the sidelines at Mosaic Field in Regina, Saskatchewan.
Getting even.
Getting even. I got a lot of getting even to do. You killed two people.
Right.
Who's getting even? You got more people to kill, OJ?
Who's on?
It's Humble and Fred Radio. Great to be with you on Funny 820 and at humbleandfredradio.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back. HumbleandFredRadio.com. You can also watch us this morning. Sergeant Sean is in charge of the Twitch production. It's a multi-camera shoot. It's quite something. We have a little bit of little video things, and you can watch the nonsense, see what we're wearing. Phil is festooned in his usual dress shoes and shorts.
Yep, blue polka dots.
Blue polka dotted shirt.
Old
and,
Navy.
Hey, how's your... can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead. How's my what?
How's your armpits?
In what way?
Well...
Do I stink?
Well, yeah, because I've noticed as I've gotten older, like I used to just be like stink-free. Like if I could sweat, I go to yoga, I'll sweat like a mother, and just not stink. And now I'm starting to really not enjoy myself that much. Like, you know... Like yesterday, I was wearing a shirt golfing with my brother and his girlfriend, and I'm like, wait a second. I felt there was an odor, and I don't know where it came from. It came from me.
No, of all the things that have gone terribly wrong for me, that hasn't.
No, okay.
Because I hardly have any hair under my arms.
Seriously?
And I... It takes a lot for me to perspire, and I don't get BO. That's one thing.
Well, I never did either. I was like one of those people. I never stink. Even after my shower this morning, I had a shower, you know, and put all the soap in your armpit area, and I sort of took a little smell because I'm starting to get nervous.
And it still stunk?
Well, it wasn't.
What are you eating?
I don't know. Well, I will say that I had a lot of red meat the last 2 or 3 days.
What
like
about
lots.
Garlic? Lots of garlic and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe that's it. Welcome back to the
Maybe
show.
Maybe you're just dead on the inside.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, compared to what you've gone through in the last year, I'm great. You know, you had that tube in your wiener hole, and, well, that's enough. That's enough said, I think.
You know, I was going to tell David, your brother, who had a similar, or the same.
You guys are Terp brothers.
Had the same surgery. When I was done there in the fall... The urologist said to me, he said, okay, you're good to go. I said, no, am I coming back? He said, well, you don't have to. He said, you have any problem, then let me know. And he said, why do you want to come back? And I said, well, I wouldn't mind coming back in a year just to catch up. And he said, fine, you don't have to. But I'm so glad now because I'm trying to figure out what gift am I going to take him. Am I going to take him a bouquet of flowers? Am I going to take him a bottle of scotch? I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
It was so life-changing and so wonderful what that man did for me. I just want to go back to say... Thank you, Doc.
Thank you for being
Thank
my
you.
Friend.
No, seriously.
Yeah.
So well, I went through that.
Yeah.
You know, I could have been like a lot of guys and said, oh, I don't want the catheter. I'm not having that surgery. And lived with the discomfort and the nuisance that was.
No, and yesterday, well, I know you're yeah. beside yourself because yesterday, yeah. when you and David were talking about your transurethral resective whatever procedure, yeah. you remarked, I could pee from here to that door. And I'm like, I would pay to see it. Yeah. That's the pay-per-view event. There she is, ladies and gentlemen. I got to talk to you about something in a second.
Do you? The parade I want to see.
That's the pee parade. The you and David and all the turf. When you guys have that sign and you're leading the parade, Terp Brothers, 2019.
A stream of 4 miles.
But listen, before we get any further, guys, we got to keep on track here and talk about our friends at the Chamber Plan.
Group insurance and employee benefits enjoyed by 30,000 Canadian businesses. That's the Chamber Plan. Actually, the official name is Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan. Go to chamberplan.ca, get yourself a free quote. If you have a small business, is anything from 1 to 100 employees. It's all there. It makes so much sense. Again, 30,000 Canadian businesses part of this, so there's strength in numbers. Dental insurance, health insurance, travel insurance. They even have an HR element now. Fantastic. Chamberplan.ca.
I'm sorry about that. You know you're with a... she's a goer. She's a gamer. You know you're with a master improviser when she sort of motions about my pit smell. I call her over as a joke. Going, yeah, go ahead and smell it. Takes her headphones off, comes over and smells my armpit. Amanda Barker, everybody.
Pit supervisor.
What they think?
Oh, smells good. It smells soapy and nice.
Hey, listen, we just got off the phone with our friends from Clear Air Solutions. Ken Preston, what a great job they did. Mold, find those words I need, Phil. Mold Recipitation.
He's got a show coming up, does he not?
Hosted by yours truly.
Well, let's talk about that.
That's what we're going to talk about on Friday night for, I guess we've done this now, 3 years in a row. What a great organization that Kenny has put together up in Barrie at the Ferndale event hall.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Morrison is your headliner. Along with, but look at this show. This is a stacked show.
Yeah.
Darren Frost. Could you grab that clearer for me?
Oh,
Darren?
That's right. Yeah.
That's all right, bro. Mm. Darren Frost just dropping a quick set, but it's for the it's for the women and children's shelter.
Yeah. Mm.
Of Simcoe County, right?
That's right. Mm. Tyler Morrison. Along with Shea Durena, unbelievable. Chantel Preston, going to supply some music. Darren Frost. Fred Ball.
Fred Ball.
That's a good
dropping
lineup.
A hot five or six. Howard Glassman, Master of Ceremonies. Mm-hmm. I'll be hosting the show. And it's all for a great cause. ClearAirSolutions.com, the official mold remediation company of the Humboldt and Fred Show. It's for a great cause up in Barrie. It's a great space, the Ferndale Banquet Hall. Okay? So I wake up on Friday morning after the Thursday night. Like, it was just amazing. What a great feeling. The Raptors win.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hung until around 1 o'clock in the morning because of the hoopla in my neighborhood. I was telling Freddie. From the moment that the game ended until 1 in the morning, there were fireworks, and this street was filled with honking horns and people walking up and down screaming.
Yeah.
So I get up Friday morning. The first thing I see on my phone is a message from Amandris Barkus.
Ooh.
And it's a picture of Barker.
Yes.
At, I think, 1 or something in the morning.
Probably.
Something in the like middle of the mayhem. So give me the timeline. The Raptors win. Okay. You get in an Uber and head downtown.
Uber? I drove. 12:11. That's 12, me 11. Driving.
Okay. It's a Barker. Hey. I'm on the road, baby.
Look at me.
Where does that come from? Like, that you would want to
you
do
You know
that?
What it comes from? It comes from living on Yonge Street my first 3 years of living in Toronto. That's yeah. what it comes from. Because I didn't know about this... run into the streets and scream it at people tradition that Toronto has. But when the when Canada won gold, what year would that have been? 2002? probably.
Oh, back that one, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Salt Lake City.
Yeah. That was the first one that I remember. And I remember them putting up the barricades. Like, I looked out my window. I lived at Young and Grosvenor, if anyone knows that street, which is between Wellesley and College.
Yeah, of course.
I lived over what is now an A&W. And I remember looking out the street, and they immediately shut Young Street down. And my roommate and I, my roommate said, "Let's go." And I was like, "What are we doing?" He's like, "We gotta run around." So we put on like his Leafs jersey, and we ran outside and just ran around the street. And everybody else was doing the same thing. And I remember changing my—that's back when I had a home phone—changing my voicemail at like 3 a.m. because we were all taking a week off, going away. And we couldn't do it because it was like just honking horns at 3 a.m. still. Yeah.
2002 was 17 years ago. You were in your 20s.
I sure was.
Now you're in your 40s.
I sure am.
And you still jumped in your car and went downtown.
I did, yeah.
Some of us never grow up.
Did you drag Marco?
I did.
Marco.
Did you see? There's a video I posted of me, like, screaming, and then I pan over to him, and he's just staring, like.
Yeah, he doesn't care about sports.
No, not like that. Also, he doesn't, he's like, someone's going to get hurt. They're on a bus.
What I like about Marco, one of the many things, is that he said, I'm not into this, hun, but let's go down to Young Street.
That's the key.
Let's go to Young Street.
That's the key. He didn't want to do it, but he knew that he'd be a wet rag if he didn't. So he
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Like, what is?
Well, both the fact that Barks would want to do that. Again, not my thing. I barely even wanted to be here with all the cars honking. I'm like, please, people.
It does get loud.
But Marco, a man.
Well, the thing is, as I said the other day, Amanda is me 20 years ago. Would I have done it 20 years ago? I don't even know.
You were a woman 20 years ago?
Huh?
You were a woman 20 years ago.
I was her age 20 years ago. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
That's a lot of time.
Probably exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've never been. I would have never done it in my 20s either. I never would have run down a Young Street in my 20s.
Listen, in 1983, by the way, there's a great video online. When the Argonauts won the Grey Cup in 1983, it was huge. CFL was big. Argos were big. Mm-hmm. Huge parade downtown. They had a lot of trouble that day. There was looting and store windows smashed and a lot worse than yesterday, depending on how you want to measure shooting to looting.
But shooting versus looting.
What was my... Oh, I didn't even go then. I mean, I was a sports... I was in Vancouver. I saw them won. I came home, and I was caught up in it because I loved my Argos. But even then, that parade, I didn't go near it. I just... You know,
but the thing
and
is,
I was in my 30s or 20s. At
when
the time.
I was in my 20s, I lived in it. Like, I lived on Young Street.
Yes.
So
couldn't avoid it.
I only knew when I first moved to the city, I knew one street, and that was Young Street. I would take it to get when Pizza would give me their car, I would take it to get on a highway. Like, I didn't know another street.
No, it's funny you say that because I was telling one of the kids when I first moved to Toronto, I lived in High Park and I didn't know the city enough and I didn't have there was no smartphones.
Yeah.
And I used to. I didn't know that you could get on the Gardner from where I lived.
Yeah.
I used to go through city streets all the way to the 401.
What?
Yeah.
Like you don't remember this, but it was a few months of working with you.
Why didn't you ask?
You didn't even know about it. I was the same. I didn't know how to get on the Gardner. I would take the 401 to the Gardner, too.
I would to get to Brampton, because I just thought, well, that's how everyone does it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go up Jane all the way to the 401.
Yeah.
What?
And then one day, maybe it was earlier than 2 months, but at one point I went, you mean I can just go down to that thing?
Yep.
Okay, good.
There's a ramp.
Oh, yeah.
It took a while. I was the same. I mean, I had MapQuest.
Well,
so I would print out my MapQuest directions.
I was so impressed when I saw that Friday morning. I'm like, that's my girl. Barky
I told
Barky.
You I would.
I know you, and that's why you sent it to us.
Yeah. What about yesterday? Did you do anything?
You know, I didn't. Mm. I had two auditions. I had one at noon and one at 4.
Where? In the East End where you work?
No, I had an audition actually right next to my house at noon.
But you didn't get into the city yesterday, did you?
Well, I actually had to drop Marco off at 4 at university and college where he worked.
Well, how could it be fine.
How did you get there?
And it was fine. It was very contained to that little area. As big as it looked on TV, the driving in Toronto was fine. It was just contained to that section of a few blocks.
Well, I think a lot of people are smart because they just make other arrangements.
Yeah.
You know, I bet a lot of people left their cars or didn't do in a car yesterday what they normally would. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of businesses were great yesterday as far as that goes, letting their people off and not. And I was here, delivery services and stuff, they all made, you know, concessions for.
I mean, the majority of those people were from the 905, right? So they were coming in on the go, which is why the go had so many issues. But
or
they
the
were,
new subway.
Yeah, they were coming in on the go and taking the... That's why they shut the subway down, because they were like, we're not letting people out.
And a lot of cell phones didn't work in Nathan Phillips Square because it overloaded the cell in that area.
All the networks at the same time.
We talked about this McDonald's story last week, Fred, about McDonald's giving away fries. McDonald's restaurants gave away more than 500,000 orders of free fries during the playoff run, they said yesterday. The free medium fries, whenever the Raptors scored 12 or more three-pointers, blah, blah, blah. You know, that was the promotion. Mm-hmm. And here's what it cost them. It cost them, so over the entire run, more than 2.5 million free French fries, orders of French fries.
But here's the thing.
So that was 500,000 in the playoffs. But think about what we talked about this, about the amount of marketing juice that was.
Well, okay, so I used to be the one who would call in when Pizza Pizza would do the free slice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was the one who would call in and say, they just hit 100, you got to tell the stores kind of thing for 3 years. The thing is they might have lost that much if people had walked in and bought it, but fries don't cost... That's like 2 cents. Mm. You know what I mean? So that's how much they're estimating if all those people had walked in and said, today, I would just like to buy an order of fries for $1.50 or whatever they go for.
$2.69 now.
Yeah, so that's $2.69, not the 2 cents that those fries cost.
Right. The average menu price, to your point, is $2.89. The value would have been $7.2 million. But the truth is... Whatever, let's say they did give them all away. Let's say it did cost $7.2 million. It was so what?
And also, that's good marketing. I mean,
it's great marketing.
You can't buy that marketing.
You can.
Yes, you can.
Yeah,
they did.
You can.
You just did.
Good for them.
They just did.
Good for them.
So, yeah, the crowds were estimated, as I was saying earlier on the show, 600,000. But Freddie says it could be... maybe a million people.
They said 2 mil.
No, well,
they said 2 mil.
I know, but there's a like the Globe and Mail has, you know, has one of those people that is a professor of crowd estimation. Saying, seriously, that I quoted this. They said that he said, yeah, there's a lot of people, but it wasn't 2 million people.
Right.
No, that's half the city, basically.
Yeah, well,
I mean, yeah,
one in two people walked out their doors from here to steal. So
yeah, but as Amanda said, a lot of people came in from 9.
It was
like 2 million seemed a stretch.
Yeah.
I bet it was probably somewhere between 600 and a million. Yeah.
City of Toronto
says
that 100,000 people attended the celebration just at Nathan Phillips Square.
How many?
100,000 at the square, and more than 1 million of people attending festivities all around that area.
Have you talked to anybody who was sort of near the shooting?
Justin. Oh, no, not near the shooting. But
yeah, there's some crazy stories.
Talk to me.
Well, a friend of mine who I used to work with as well, Pizza Pizza, she was right there, and it was really more the pandemonium of
Where was the shooting again?
It was to the, if you know where the stage is,
Nathan Phillips
Park is.
Yes.
Yeah, it's right there, like to the left. You know, where like Queen and...
Bay.
Yeah, and like right where the Eaton Center is, like the
no, I know what you mean.
The Queen entrance of the Eaton Center, just west of that little chunk. That's where it was, and I've seen a few people posting about it, they went running because people were running on top of them. Like there was a legit trample situation, and they ran to the bay. So the bay is right there, if you can picture it.
Yep.
And the bay wouldn't let them in. And people were pounding on the window, screaming, let us in.
That's some bad PR.
Yeah, it's some really bad PR. And the bay, like, held the door shut because they didn't know what was going on. And people were, like, screaming and pressed up against the glass, like, please let us in. Can you imagine? So she wrote, I will never go to another parade again. I will avoid crowds. Like, people are traumatized.
Well, it's what Freddie was saying. Like, so the Leafs win the Stanley Cup, and you want to bring your grandson or grandchild to downtown Toronto to witness history. And then you have to think, well, okay, but what if something goes wrong?
Well,
what do I do?
Yeah.
It's not even a decision now. It's not happening. Like, if the parent wants to take them, that fine. I wouldn't for that reason. I mean, it's case closed for me.
It's so sad. It's such a...
Yeah, it is too bad.
I kept thinking yesterday, this could never happen in the States because of guns. And then I thought to myself, don't be so smug, Barker, because this day is not done yet. Like, you have no idea. Like, don't be so smug. Maybe there's cities, and then sure enough, you know?
You know, I'm not great. I said to Freddie, I don't like that whole crowded situation anyway. And a couple weeks ago, we took the train into Manhattan on Sunday morning, and it was just a little bit more packed than I like.
Yeah.
You know, where you can't... There's no room to move for, and it only lasts for a couple of minutes. And that's why I'm talking to Justin this morning about being in that crowd, pushed up against barriers or, you know, panicking and the bay won't let you in. And by the way, suck it, bay, because that's ridiculous.
Isn't that crazy?
It is ridiculous. But that just thinking about it makes me uncomfortable.
Well, you know, they're probably thinking mob crowd come through here shoplifting. Yeah. I mean, everybody has an angle. And I mean, ultimately, they look bad, but...
Who knows if it was even employees of the bay? It might be people that were in there that were like, don't let it in! Like zombie apocalypse.
Exactly.
This
is it, the zombie apocalypse.
You know, there's different levels of punishment, too, and it's like somebody that is so selfish to take a gun there, and with all those crowds and seeing those little kids around them to pull it out and start shooting, what does that person deserve?
Well, it's interesting because they're saying it was a very calculated hit. I kept thinking about Vegas. I kept thinking about that huge crowd in
Vegas.
Yes,
so did
I. How somebody just had their, whatever it was, AR-15 or whatever, and just unleashed. And I kept thinking about that and then thinking, no, it's Canada, Barker.
Canada.
No, it's Canada. We don't do that anymore.
Let's talk. Let's throw a little sunshine if we can. Let's get out of the shade. And here on the morning show, we like to throw a little sunshine. It's not going to be that. Well, it could be if you want. I was going to talk. Well, why don't we can do that, and then we'll talk about something that I thought was very classy that happened yesterday, or I think it was yesterday. But first, let's talk about the way this place works, and we had some damage, and these guys helped us fix it.
Hey, Freedom Construction, freedomconstruction.ca, where to go. Choose a company built on quality, pride, and integrity. They've been around for 12 years, residential and commercial general contracting services, relationship builders. They're fantastic, freedomconstruction.ca. They specialize in exterior carpentry, kitchens, bathrooms, basements. They do it all, even light commercial work, okay? freedomconstruction.ca. Humble and Fred used them. Why not you?
Why not? Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Tara.
Hi, Tara.
Hi, Tara.
Hi.
Hi.
Why are you calling?
Why are you good?
So, KJ told me to call you because you were talking about the shooting that happened yesterday.
Yeah, you were there?
Yeah, I was down. I worked downtown across the street from Nathan Phillips Square.
Yes.
And just, you know, everyone was like a big party all day. And then all of a sudden, we just like, from the windows at our office, we just saw people like running and screaming and being like stampede on. And we held about 50 people in our building while we were trying to figure out what was going on. It was pretty crazy down there.
Hey, Tara, where, you don't need to tell us what the company was, but what's the location again? Was it, were you around Bay and Queen?
Yeah, right in Trinity Square, just like between the Eaton Center and Nathan Phillips Square.
Know exactly where that is.
Yeah.
Well, that's, and how frightening for you to witness this.
We were safe. We were indoors in our office, but we just, like, heard screaming and people running. People were, like, crashing into our building, like, tripping each other, running up the stairs. They were really, like, a lot of young people, you know, they had been separated from their friends, and their one person had lost their sister, and, you know, it was pretty frightening. They were really panicked, some of these kids, so... You know, our focus was trying to keep them calm and keep them safe and figure out what was going on.
Well, yeah, again, it must have been horrific. And did anyone try and get in your building?
Oh, yeah, we had about 50 people in our building at one point.
Okay, you said that, all right.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So, yeah, we kept them there for about a couple hours, you know, and then the cell phone reception was horrible, so people trying to find other people. Mm-hmm. Was pretty scary. People crying, shaken up, bruised up from, you know, being hit and run over. So, yeah, it was pretty frightening.
Well, thank you for that report.
Hey, yeah,
and,
no,
And appreciate you thinking of us, Tara.
Yes.
Yeah, no problem. So, anytime. Have a great day, guys.
You okay, too, nice thank person. You, let's not forget our friend, the retirement Sherpa. Successful strategies in a low interest rate environment is what he's all about. You know, he's the retirement Sherpa, Phil. He's a portfolio manager. Are you? No. Raymond James is a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. He'll be back in tomorrow with another, you know, another session of common sense. These are volatile times. Put down the paper. Am I doing this too much? I'm so sorry. Here, let me show you, let me show you Sean's new sign. He wrote, put down the paper, F you right back. What? I don't think that's not...
You used to have that one.
Did I used to have that?
F you, Sean.
Okay. Anyway, retirement Sherpa, tim.niblett or raymondjames.ca. You know, a lot of our Humble and Fred Hundy Peas have used his services and have done remarkably well. But I'll tell you what, if you're looking for somebody in your corner, for nothing... else other than just have him look at your stuff. You don't need to sign up. Have him have a look at your portfolio and see what he can do. Oh, good. We got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about... Oh, I know. We got
stuff so
to
much do. Going on.
A lot of stuff going on. Michelle Arbus, Vice President of Research from Strain Print, and Cashton Adams Foley, Marketing Manager, will be coming up here in a second. We'll talk about some of the good that came out of yesterday. I mean, there were a lot of... I mean, there's more good than bad.
It was good.
Right?
It was good.
Huh? Come on, Barker. You know, as you know, hell is other people.
Yes.
Who said that, Dave? Sard, of course. I would have guaranteed...
J.P. Sard.
...that there was only one other person in this room that knew what that quote came from, and it's Super Dave, who had the presence of mind to go to university... And now in his late 60s is making huge bank.
From No Exit. It's from the play No Exit.
It's from the... Oh, three people. The play No Exit.
Right?
It's a great... And it's one of the great quotes of all time. Hell is other people. You'd love this play.
I bet.
You'd hate it.
No,
just
no.
Just four people in purgatory.
Can I buy a ticket?
Fred's in the Basement. That's a perfect... Fred's in the Basement is hell is other people.
Yeah, but this is with three other people. You would.
Oh, yeah. Listen, kids.
No way.
We're late. We've got to go.
Bye.
It's Humble and Fred Radio. We'll be right back, people. For the first time, kids, since 2005, you can also get us at humbleandfredradio.com, live on Twitch TV around the world. Yesterday, we heard from Saigon. Was it Saigon someone was watching us?
Damong.
Damong. Not all bad news yesterday. It was a day of joy, a celebration. And I know everyone's probably already heard this, but I still think it's worth mentioning that one of the classiest things that happened, I believe, was the full-page ad in the Toronto Star that the Golden State Warriors took out. They didn't need to do that. That's a sign of a great organization. Somebody made a great decision, wouldn't you think? It says the Golden State Warriors congratulate the Toronto Raptors on their historic achievement in bringing the 2019 NBA championship to the city of Toronto. And it's a picture of GD Steph Curry. Guy's so good.
Yeah.
Hugging Lowry. And what a great gesture.
Just so I know, you know we talked about this yesterday.
I know we did.
Okay. All right. I'm worried about you sometimes.
You should be.
That's all right.
But did okay. This was in yesterday's paper.
No, I know. Do you remember I said my wife just texted me and that the Golden State Warriors had taken out a full page
ad? When was that? Yesterday?
Yeah.
Yes.
During the show.
Second three.
But
I'd still in the midst of all of that.
And how small the world is. My son, he's in Cape Town, South Africa right now working.
Mm-hmm.
And we were texting back and forth. And I said, hey, this Raptor parade is crazy. And he goes, yeah. And then so I sent him a couple of pictures. He said, I know, Dad. I've been streaming CB24. You know, a few years ago, it would be like send somebody a picture. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. You'd have to describe it.
Yeah.
Like he's right there in real time, like.
actually, I was watching it on whatever I was watching, CT, I think it was CT News, watching the speeches, and they didn't address it right away, and I get a text from my sister in Portugal. Are you okay? And yeah. I was like, why? What's going on? She goes, apparently a woman's been shot.
Did you not check in safe from Toronto?
I did. Is there one on that?
That's what they don't do. I don't think they have that in Calgary. You know, like, have you ever heard that expression? What? So-and-so is...
It's marked as safe.
Marked as safe.
You ever heard that? You guys have, but well, it's when horrible things happen, like they do here in the big city, people will they've taken to on social media checking in with family and friends marked as safe.
It's smart to do.
You know what I found very disheartening, and I don't know why, but I often watch at 6:30 in the evening American Network News just to get that feel. And the CBS Evening News last night, the lead story was shooting in Toronto at Raptor Parade.
That's awful.
Well, tell me about it. And then, of course, I'm thinking I'm not going to watch Fox last night because they'll be going, see, oh, gun control in Canada, look what happens. You know.
But the difference is that it was not Vegas Orlando.
What you said in the first segment there about smug Toronto. We're so smug and, that'll never happen here. And then, you know, that woman that called us described a scene that could be any American city or just as bad. And it is too bad that on the, you know, the American Network News, the story wasn't what a wonderful celebration the Canadians had without, you know, violence erupting.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If it hadn't happened, the shooting, I bet you the Raptor feel-good story would have been the kicker on CBS Evening News. And finally, tonight in Toronto, they celebrated the...
Yep.
It would have been a little feel-good kicker at the end. Instead, it becomes the lead story.
But there is a feel-good story, because, and I think it's very classy that they did this. The Golden State Warriors took out a full-page ad in the Toronto Star. I don't know if you saw this.
No. Yeah. Was there any pictures with it?
Well, and it's a great shot. I don't know if I...
Of who?
Of it's Steph Curry, GD Steph Curry, hugging Kyle Lowry. And I don't know if you saw it yesterday, but I thought it was just...
Was there a caption? Did they write something?
Obviously, they did.
Okay. What did they write?
Something about the history and the achievement. Okay. I mean, you know, the type of thing.
No, that's classy.
It is classy. I think it was a great gesture. And
we'll talk about it
tomorrow. We hadn't talked about.
Third segment.
One we're going to talk about every day now.
We're going to talk about tomorrow.
Talk about... Hey, why don't we get our... what?
Talk about tomorrow.
And the next day.
It's 8:30. Time to talk about the Wizards.
Listen, you guys, I just thought it was a classy gesture. And we're being honest, I forgot.
I do the same thing all the time.
We talked about it.
Look who you're looking at. Mr. Forgets a lot of stuff, too. So, I know.
Tell me a fun story about Flyers. Talk to me about Flyers. I'll tell you what, people. Yeah. We're going to get Michelle Arvis and Cashton Adams Foley in a place here from Strain Print. Can we get you guys settled? Do you still want to be on the show? Why don't you grab that chair? Parker, get Michelle settled. How are you guys, sir?
Good.
That's what I
hey,
I don't
how
know.
Are you? Here's I was going to come over, but I couldn't get through. Okay.
I don't know you, but I know you got... look how you dress. You're cool.
Nice to meet you.
That's cool hats, by the way. By the way, I got some Strain Print. I got a Strain Print t-shirt.
Which one?
The one that says Data Nerd. I didn't know you guys were doing some cool hats now.
Yes, we are.
Look at you. See, the thing is, you don't know. You have a friend, your best friend, Darren. He's one of those guys who just knows how to dress, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
He can dress.
He can dress.
Oh,
well, here's Cashton. He walks in. He's got a cool jacket, ripped jeans. He's cool. I don't know. Where do you even put that together? Do you have help?
No. This is just me looking in the mirror.
All right, Michelle, you look very nice, too.
Thank you.
Although, I should say, since he retired, I don't think I've seen Darren out of some kind of a rock and roll t-shirt. But anyway.
Cashin is the B2B marketing manager, Strain Print. Michelle, vice president of research. And we're friends of Strain Print. We've had a relationship for quite some time now. And it never ceases to amaze me, you guys. The world of cannabis, medical and recreational. But what Strain Print has done is kind of figured out a way for people to share stories with one another.
Exactly.
That really wasn't a question. I realize that. I realize I didn't have a question mark at the end of that sentence. Tell me what Strain Print is doing to help people have a better experience with cannabis.
Michelle, do you want to lead this?
Sure. So we at Strain Print have developed an app for consumers, and you can track your medical cannabis usage. So it really helps the patient figure out what works best for them. So we know that cannabis is a very individualized medicine. It interacts with your body, which is every single person has a different endocannabinoid system in their body. So what works for Cashin won't work for me, won't work for you, might work for someone else. So in order to figure out as the patient what's working, you track it every day or every time you medicate. And then the app will say, hey, remember when you use this product at this time with this amount of, you took in this much, this is what you said worked best. So it really helps the patient.
You know, and I was going to say it helps in a way because lots of times people, you know, talk to each other anecdotally about, oh, I'm having trouble sleeping. This is what I'm using. But sometimes, you know, the problem with that data is it's not shareable and it's not trackable.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like 101. One of our salespeople, we're talking about this like stoner knowledge, the anecdotal knowledge.
Stoner knowledge, exactly. For instance, I didn't remember we talked about this Toronto's full page ad.
Yeah.
I heard it a couple of times.
Yeah. It's okay.
I'm going to talk about it again.
If you haven't heard about it, he'll tell you.
It's Curry and Kyle Lowry. They're hugging. Anyway, go on.
I haven't heard about it. So yeah, our observational study is the largest in the world, and so we're able to give people other people's outcomes so that they can find the products that work for them a lot quicker than if they were to journal handwritten like our founder did originally. So that's what we're trying to do, help people get the best patient outcomes.
And the other way that is different from the anecdotal stoner knowledge is where it's quantified. So you rate your how you're feeling out of 10 before and after you medicate. So every time you medicate, you get a score, which is your efficacy score. So you're not just like, yeah, it worked. Yeah, it kind of worked. Like, it's actually a number that's quantifiable. And when we have tens of thousands of patients and 1.3 million of these records, the number means something.
Yeah, especially. So let's take insomnia. It's one of the things we talk a lot about as people age. You know, they sleep less. It's a fact. And you know, I had no idea. A lot of our peer group, you know, men and women in their 50s and 60s are taking over-the-counter sleep medication. It's terrible for you. Some people are getting prescription. And some people are afraid to use marijuana or CBDs, whatever. But there's a recent report about insomnia that you want to talk about. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, I'll let Michelle dive in a little bit more. But one of the biggest things for me from that report was that people are switching to medical cannabis and that we're seeing almost 50%, 45% is what we're seeing, better sleep from people using medical cannabis. And that affects 1 in 10, insomnia affects 1 in 10 Canadians. So 10% of the population is able to use medical cannabis based on our data.
Michelle, what are some of the numbers? Or, Michelle, what would you like to say? I don't know. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
How many people are now sleeping better?
Lots of people are sleeping better.
So lots of people are sleeping better. As Cashin said, yeah, it's about 1 in 10 that suffer from insomnia. And our records have 5% of our total 1.3 million outcomes is insomnia. So it's in the top 10. It's like a good number of people who are using medical cannabis are treating with this. We see one of the really cool things that we found in the study is there's such a... in terms of cannabis, such a dichotomy between like an indica and sativa, right? You're like, oh, you got to go to sleep. You need an indica. Yeah. Oh, you want to be awake. Here's sativa. But yeah, what we found with our, you know, lots and lots, we have, I think, 35,000 records, patient records that we analyzed for this study, shows that that's not the case. And it's not that it's not the case. It's dependent on lots of things, on age, on gender. Like, we're able to really see, like, males and females have different bodies, different hormones that interact with the THC differently, so they're going to need different things to fall asleep.
You know, the stigma's still attached. Now, when you say, and there's people listening to this show and aren't quite sure, you say medical cannabis. When you say that, I think a lot of people are a little more receptive to the idea. Mm-hmm. Just putting that word in front of it, even if it doesn't need to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because of the stigma attached. So, you know, I've never really smoked marijuana or taken marijuana. This is a big leap for me. But if it's medical, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think to that point is that putting medical in front of it and also using the word cannabis, which is the actual plant's scientific name, is huge. Because marijuana, I'm a dual citizen of the U.S. and Canada. I was born here.
Okay.
But marijuana comes from Mexico. In the 1930s, the FBI started using that term, and it partly built the stigma.
That's right. They did. They thought cannabis sounded too smart.
Yep.
So they made up that word. I want to ask you, though, so take us through, because, listen, I understand, Fred understands, the idea of the app. But let's say I'm having trouble. Sleeping. I go on StrainPrint. I input my age, gender, all that stuff. And then what am I looking for? How does it work?
So if you are new to the app and you put in your information, then you there's a, I guess, like a button on the app that's called Explore. So you're exploring and you're able to access what other patients have used. So it'll, and you say Explore Insomnia, and it'll come up with these are the top five products that seem to be working for other people.
That's what I want to get to.
Yeah.
Here's the products. Here's the amount most people have used. Here's the combination of THC and CBD. It'll take you step by step. And then you start tracking your progress.
Exactly.
And what would be interesting is that I'm sure, like, we know, for example, with anxiety, some of the top products are high THC, low CBD. Some are one-to-one, and some are a high CBD, low THC. So it may come up. It may show you all three. And then you would be a little bit confused. Like, I don't know, do I need the high THC, the one-to-one, or the high CBD? And that's where you start, though. And you can say, okay, I'm going to try this one first and see how that works and track it and then see how it goes. And if not, you say, okay, well, maybe the next kind works for me. So it's really helpful for your whole journey.
And what a great, you know, time we live in, so that, you know, this, as we get older, that maybe we can, and I've had, we've had this conversation recently with another product talking about getting off opioids, but that's a fairly extreme example. But what if you could just get off prescription or over-the-counter sleep medication?
Well,
like,
people,
why not?
People are doing it. So our other study that we are here to talk about is a study we did on polypharmacy. So we asked our StreamPrint community members or app users to go take a survey that we designed on what other drugs you're taking if you're also treating something with cannabis.
So say that again. So if you're taking, like, if you're on a anti-inflammatory and cannabis, if you're on a sleep med and cannabis. Okay, so what'd you find out?
To qualify, you had to say, I'm treating something with cannabis and either an over-the-counter or a prescription drug or a natural remedy. Not too many people were doing natural remedies, but what did we find? We found like over 50% of our users were using cannabis and something else. And that changed. The 50% went up to, I think, like 80%, depending on the symptom they're treating. But of those people who are using both, there's different ways they're using it. Some people totally replace their over-the-counter or pharmaceuticals with cannabis. Some of them reduced the amount of medication they're taking and added cannabis, and some continued with their medication and then added cannabis on top of it. And
amazing.
It is amazing.
It is.
We see people with pain, a lot of them reduced their
dependency on the over-the-counter stuff.
And prescriptions.
And
opioids
prescription.
Were listed as the things that were reduced. So that was really, really promising.
It is promising. Right now I'm treating low self-esteem with cannabis and chocolate-covered bark.
Ooh.
It's working.
And he means bark from a tree.
No. Have you tried this pretzel bark? It's transforming. It's transforming my life.
I think I know you're talking about.
You know, it's that, and I freeze it. I put it in the freezer. Anyway, back to your study. Mm-hmm. So I'll just say this. If you haven't figured out this StreamPrint is the magic, just, you got to go and check it out. StreamPrint.ca. Download the app for free, Google Play or iTunes. Cashin just joined.
Yes.
Michelle, have you been here before?
I was. I was here almost a year ago because I've been at StreamPrint almost a year.
Well, and we're so happy to have you guys with us. Cashin just joined.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, and where did you came from? A bunch of different sectors.
A bunch of different
sectors. Big companies, too, right?
Yep. So I've done IT consulting in the past at a bunch of Fortune 500 companies. I've been in Chicago and LA, and so I've seen the prohibition markets. I've seen a gray market, and now being back here into a legal market, and we're growing our marketing team, which is allowing us to execute and bring this product to more people. So I'm really excited.
Well, we're obviously excited to have you guys as part of our partnership, and hopefully that continues. Once again, Michelle Arbus and Cashin Adams Foley, amazing work. Also, cool outfits.
Thank you so
much. And I got to get a hat. Sorry.
We'll
get it for you.
I love that hat. It's funny because I went to New York a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, but it's white.
I know. I'll get spaghetti. Where I'm going to get
spilled. We have a couple other ones.
No, because I spill on everything.
That'll end up with spaghetti stains.
Listen, I went to, I love that strain print. I have a strain print, one of the originals that says Data Nerd, but it's got the marijuana leaf logo. But I tell you, I was coming home. I had it with me in New York, but I didn't wear it coming back because I don't want anyone asking me, are you involved in the marijuana industry? I mean, like, how do you mean involved? Like 24/7. Thank you, guys. Thanks for coming.
Thank
it was
you.
So great seeing
you.
Thank you
so much. Thank you. Thank you so much.
About. This is that moment.
All right. Thank you so much.
How was that? Did you get everything out you wanted?
Yes.
Good.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Very good. Let's get pictures. Hey, that was great.
Awesome.
Really cool.
Thank you.
Good to see you again. I'm sorry I forgot.
Michelle.
Good to meet
Michelle.
You. Very nice. Very nice.
That's Michelle. Everyone's very nice.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, I, that is a struggle, that not being able to sleep. I go to sleep so well. I just can't stay asleep. Never have been able to. And you're lucky. You're a lucky man. You know? Your wiener sometimes get clogged, but
I have my days and nights, but really? Generally it's not a problem.
But I'll tell you what I did in January. I've talked about it before, but I stopped taking that Zizquil. I knew that was bad for me.
Zizquil?
Yeah, you know, NyQuil, whatever.
Yeah.
I stopped taking it. And I said to Rachel, I said, I don't care if I wake up. I just don't want that in my system anymore. And yeah, I use a little bit of CBD and THC at bedtime, but at some point you have to stop taking. It's not good for you.
I need a pill for my mother-in-law. I need a CBD pill because she's comfortable with pills. You know, there's a
They're available.
No, I know.
They're available.
I just need to make it happen.
There's a company that just opened up on Queen Street. We had them on the show like a year ago. Almost had them as a sponsor.
Yeah.
And I don't mind passing it on. It's called Calyx, C-A-L-Y-X.
Okay.
And they're very, very good. They're available. Hey, guys, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Thank you. Very nice.
Let's talk a little bit about, what do we do?
Ringside.
Ringside, please. And thank you, sir.
Our buddy, Dr. Elkish Patel. Yes, Ringside Medical. He's a public health specialist. He's a family doctor, the founder of Ringside's MD's new clinic in Burlington. You know, what happened to the good old family doctor? Well, times have changed, and now if you visit the new clinic in Burlington, you'll see what's going on, and you can ask about their peace of mind plan. This includes services not covered by OHIP, like 24/7 access to Canadian doctors from your smartphone and laptop, anytime, anywhere. He developed this, and it really is something. Go to ringsideclinic.ca and find out more. It's really a doctoring revolution. Tis.
Hamilton Film Studios, we had the boys in yesterday. Things are hopping and bopping.
I know.
In Hamilton. They, of course, have a studio just outside of downtown. Easy to get to from the Big Smoke. 4,000 square feet of shooting space. Another couple of thousand square feet of support. Full grip and lighting packages. Amazing expendables and rental stores. If you're looking to do some kind of video production, film, or television in the city of Hamilton, you must. I mean, you got to. HamiltonFilmStudios.com. Hamilton Film Studios, Phil, when you, maybe for your, like when Pearl finally arrives here in Canada, we will be there at the airport. We'll have a crew. We'll film it. We'll shoot it. Sean, we'll Twitch live it. We'll stream it.
Music video. Yeah.
And we will.
In Hamilton.
Hamilton. We will do it in Hamilton.
Green screen it.
Okay, we got no more time. I just wanted to, it's too bad we ran out of time because I wanted to tell you about this thing that the Golden State Warriors did.
What's that? What do they do?
I'm not telling you now.
Oh, okay.
I don't like
tomorrow or perhaps Thursday.
Well, yeah, the presses.
Okay. All right. See you, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Strain Print, Hamilton Film Studios, Palma Pasta, Freedom Construction, Ringside MD, and our newest sponsor, Clear Air Solutions. We broadcast to the world from the Humble and Fred Queensway National Broadcast Center. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfredradio.com.